You know, many legends have come out of the Old West. Some true, some false, and some just plain cockamamie. Like the famous tale of a stagecoach that was burned to the ground by Apaches. And the only survivor was a tiny infant and his little teddy bear. Now, many times Indians have found little babies and brought them up as their own. And then there are stories of wolves finding a child and raising it in the wolf pack. But nobody wanted this baby. Nobody loved him. So this little baby grew up loving nobody. And he became the meanest man in the whole West, Evil Roy Slade.
Evil Roy Slade would howl at the darkness, scare it so bad he'd cause day to break. Then Evil Roy Slade would scramble a rattler, have him for breakfast and spit out the shake.
Okay, are we rolling? Good. Forgotten Horrors Podcast, take one. Cue the appropriate music. No. I said the appropriate music. That's more like it. This is Mike Price welcoming you to the Forgotten Horrors Podcast, a blatant exploitation of our new series of Forgotten Horrors movie books. And now, the acclaimed author of Soul Soup for the Chickens and others too humorous to mention, John Woolley.
Thank you very much, Michael Price, author of a great many things, including the Forgotten Horror series, which we'll be talking about at the end of this this podcast. How are you?
Oh, so glad. So glad to be here.
Well, I am too. And, you know, one of the great things I think about this podcast that I enjoy so much about it is that we can range a little bit far afield, because what we're talking about tonight is not exactly a horror movie, although there are very bizarre and macabre elements in it.
Oh, yeah.
But I would have to say, on a personal level, I discovered this film when my ship came back from Vietnam to San Diego in 1972. Either we were getting ready to go out or we'd just come back. And about three of my friends and I from on board the USS New Orleans, we were a helicopter carrier, we just decided we had to just get off the ship before we sailed again. And we found a motel, and we got an ice chest full of beer, and we checked in, and we just wanted to watch television, because that was a big – watching network television was like a huge thing for us to be able to do after being out everywhere. So we settle down, and we crack open our adult beverages and turn on the networks, which, of course, were only NBC, ABC, CBS then.
Yeah.
And 72. And here is this crazy made-for-TV movie called Evil Roy Slade.
About, what a picture.
Oh, and about a gunslinger raised by vultures, essentially. And immediately, I knew there was something. I still crack up at some of the scenes in that all these years later.
All of you boys realize that this is my last job. You're looking at a man about to retire.
Oh, no, Evil. Boss, in honor of your retirement, I'd like to give you this here gold watch. Now, me and Smith here and Patches, we's men of different faiths. We banded together and we beat the tar out of Riley here and took his watch for you. Let's have a speech, lad.
I'm touched, boys. Not enough to say thanks, but I am touched. As a matter of fact, I got something for you guys here.
some of my old wanted posters. I autographed them.
Hey, that's nice.
Pass them out, Snake.
Yep. This is it. We've been together a lot of years, and I gotta say, I ain't never gotten to know any of you guys at all. What's your name?
Patch. I've been with you now for 6 years. I saved your life once up in Loganville.
Give him another poster.
Oh, thanks, Slade.
Boys, as we stand here, ready to rob our last stage, I want you to remember the 5 most important things that I taught you.
Sneaking, lying, arrogance, dirtiness, and evils. Put them all together, and they spell slave.
Yeah, that's right.
Enough warmth.
We sat there and we laughed, and you know, a lot of it is context with movies, of course. A lot of it is where you saw it, what you were feeling, what it made you feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a terrific thing for us, a terrific getaway to get our minds off the war and get our minds off being in the service and all this kind of stuff. Now, I understand from talking to you before this that George Turner, your cohort that began the Forgotten Horrors movies, was a big fan of this picture.
Big fan of the picture. We watched it when it was new on the network. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, this is like, well, it was the Blazing Saddles before Blazing Saddles.
That's right. I thought it might be after Blazing Saddles, a little research, and it's not. It's before.
Yes, anticipates that very much, along with, what else? There are similar pictures from the general period of The Villain, for example, with Kirk Douglas.
Right. Right, exactly.
A lot of Western comedies. We've even got a few in the Forgotten Horrors books, like Skip-Along Rosenbloom.
Right. And what's the one with Al Fuzzy St. John being chased by the same bat from The Devil Bat?
Oh, that's Wild Horse Phantom.
Wild, yes, exactly.
Straightforward shoot 'em up, but of course anything Fuzzy St. John appears in is automatically a comedy.
That's right. Well, I've got to tell you, I have long been a huge fan of John Astin, who's still around, still acting. And I think, for instance, I remember seeing Candy when it first came out at the theater, quite a provocative picture.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of big guest star cameos in it, Ringo Starr and a lot of other people. But, you know, John Astin just stole that picture.
He has a way of doing that, the Addams Family probably being the most readily recognized nowadays. But, you know, he's still got credits coming in. He's doing a Starship sequel right now.
Oh,
that I believe has completed principal photography.
Well, I would hope that Evil Roy Slade would get some sort of a renaissance, but I doubt it because the copies I found were at a Dollar General store for $1 each, and I bought everything they had because it's the first time I'd seen that picture on DVD.
Got to spread it around. It's a handsome addition, but of course it has no popular reputation beyond the memories of people who saw it when it was new, and gosh, they sure do wish they could see it again. You see these movie chat rooms on the web where people talk about, oh gosh, I'd give anything to see that picture again, and you know, sooner or later somebody chimes in and says, well, here's where you get it. Apparently, there's an authorized video edition, and there also are bootlegs on eBay
of Evil Roy Slade.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Well, how much of that do you suppose, how much of it's kind of flying under the radar is because it was a made-for-TV movie?
Made-for-TV movies do not resurface with any great frequency. I need to do a search one of these days for the Horror at 30,000 Feet, for example.
Yes, what a wonderful picture.
And yet, a picture from the same period, which starts off well and then kind of deteriorates, Gargoyles, is pretty well known today and readily available.
Mm-hmm. I look at the cast on Eva Roy Slade, and you start, of course, with John Astin, and apparently the whole thing goes back to a TV series that Gary Marshall was involved with that never happened, called Sheriff Who.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was that Eva Roy Slade would kill a different sheriff every week. which is a pretty great idea.
Which takes you back to John Wayne's picture, The Star Packer, where, you know, like sheriffs get bumped off every
right.
few moments until John Wayne shows up.
That's right. And Eva Roy apparently would just bump them all off, and so the series was called Sheriff Who.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it never happened. But you look at this cast, and what a terrific cast this is.
Well, you're starting off with a director who, of course, also was a wonderful comedian, Jerry Paris.
Mm-hmm. I remember him as the second banana on the Michael Shane TV series.
Mm-hmm. And the dentist on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
And the director of many Dick Van Dyke Show episodes.
Right. More a director and producer than an actor, but a wonderful presence. And he knew this is like a reunion of, in many ways, it resembles Mad World.
You know, you're right. It's kind of a vest pocket Mad World, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very much that. It plays like a big film. Gary Marshall was already thinking big, even though his big screen breakthroughs were quite into the future in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
He and Jerry Belson delivered a script that is not merely a parody. It's, in fact, Gary Marshall told me several years ago that he had been inspired by the myth of Romulus and Remus.
For Eva Roy Slade? Raised by wolves,
raised
by buzzards. I get it, yeah.
And probably a little Tarzan in there, too.
Right. That's right. those non-human parents.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. And of course, Gary Marshall, you know, I mean, he's had his misfires, but I really, really do admire his larger body of work.
Yes.
And this one is a gem just waiting to be rediscovered. It's got, of course, the clincher is the gimmick of the villain trying hard to become a good guy,
mm-hmm.
and really turning out creepier as a good guy than he had been as a villain. That lovely scene where he interrupts the chamber orchestra.
Yes.
And he's trying so hard to be civilized. He confronts the cello player, and as he said, put that thing on your shoulder where it belongs. Can't you see there's ladies present?
Of course, the great scene in Milton Berle's shoe shop.
Mm-hmm.
When he uses the shoehorn to have the customer make the shoes fit for the customer,
mm-hmm.
which is just, to me, is just absolutely hilarious. It's kind of a subversive little picture in some ways.
It's very old school Yiddish vaudeville. A lot
is
of slapstick.
Is that where it's coming from?
A lot of slapstick. A lot of the just absurdity for the sake of absurdity. And of course,
you know, I think in terms of providing context for people who might not be our baby boomer age, we should mention that Pamela Austin, the springboard for Pamela Austin, the female lead at the picture, was a series of Dodge commercials.
Ah, yes.
She was the Dodge girl in so many of those commercials in the early 1970s that were kind of almost... Well, they were very, very heavily produced, and she was shown to great advantage in those.
Mm-hmm. Had that great wholesome face.
She had a wonderfully wholesome face. I didn't know that she went on. I looked at her credits. She actually went on and did quite a few things.
She had some popular, but not necessarily, not particularly good credentials. She appeared in two of Elvis Presley's cheesier movies.
Well, and that she became a Presley girl. You know, uh-huh. So there's something to be said for that.
The same year she did Evil Roy Slade, she had appeared in one of the better Columbo shows, Blueprint for Murder. And
she did Perils of Pauline right around that time,
didn't
she?
Did Perils of Pauline. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. A few, 4 or 5 years before Roy Slade. And had a lot of TV credentials, not too frequently on Laugh-In. I recall an appearance on Laugh-In, but I don't believe she was a regular.
Okay.
And, of course,
well, you watch this picture, and you can see some cameos that are very interesting, like Penny Marshall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like Ed Begley Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Who show up just really brief little cameos, but the whole thing is just I don't know why this feels so different to me than a regular run of the mill made for TV things, but it's really very different.
Most TV movies in the early 70s were not run of the mill. They were trying very hard to innovate. That's the period where Dan Curtis delivered some of his best work.
That's true.
Night Stalker pictures, for example. Mm-hmm. And an amazing, it's like a reunion of old Borscht Belt and vaudeville pals.
It is. You've got Milton Berle. You've got Mickey Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of people that are known for their comedic talents.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's good old Pat Buttram.
God bless him too.
And little Billy Curtis, one of the original Hollywood dwarves.
Well, if you've got a Dollar General store in your area, you may be able to find this for a dollar. Which is amazing, and it's certainly worth. I mean, Joey and I watched it here a couple of weeks ago in preparation to do this podcast, and it's a very funny picture.
Well, it's a good one if you're in the mood to get all cracked up.
Exactly.
I mean, if you got a grouch on, it probably will make you angry that it's not reinforcing your grouch.
It will make you crankier, even crankier. That's right.
But what a wonderful, weird, funny movie.
Sometimes you hope that that this podcast, which we're so happy because we're really getting some nice comments on it, but sometimes you hope that this podcast reaches certain people, and it would delight me to think that John Astin would maybe in some way, shape, or form hear this, because that film is a pay-on to him and his talents, and he never, I really don't think, Michael, that he ever got what he deserves. He's a singular talent. There's nobody like John Astin.
No, he's got the dramatic presence, obviously, but he has a mastery of comic timing and a willingness to make an utter fool of himself.
That's right, with and going into it just wide-eyed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Utterly fearless. Yes. And I don't know, is this picture too big for TV? I doubt it. Television was trying real hard in that period to be more than the vast wasteland
right.
that Pat Weaver had anticipated.
Right, yes.
And, of course, did he ever pay for that?
Yeah, that's right. And Pat Weaver was the head of the FCC at that time?
He was busy. He was heavily involved with the formation of the major networks, the Federal Communications Commission, and probably the leading voice in the development of television, but he saw what was coming. And I think probably the thing that made him cringe most was those Pavlovian laugh tracks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, people really are not so dumb that they need to be told when to laugh.
Right, right. Unfortunately, he may have lost that battle.
Well, it cost him a lot of goodwill in the industry.
Well, yeah,
because the powers that be wanted a vast wasteland, and boy, have we ever got it today.
Right, that's right. Well, you know, this is a film I think people can watch, people of our age or people of any age that have children, you can watch this with your kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd really like to know, you know, what, I'm going to have to try this out on my children who are 20-somethings and early 30s. But Joey, who's my son's age, loved the picture. Am I right, Joey? I'm not overstating that, right? And, you know, there's nothing suggestive or anything else, but all that John Astin has to do is leer.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Great presence. And what, it's maybe it's not miraculous that it's survived. It's probably miraculous that anybody is discovering it today.
Yes.
Because
I'll guarantee to you, it's the best entertainment you can get for a buck. We absolutely love seeing it. I'm going to be watching it again over the holidays too. I can say that you and I both just unhesitatingly recommend this picture.
Without the slightest misgivings.
Now, we've got the holidays coming up, and we want to let people know that if they'd like to support this podcast by buying some of our books, they can certainly do that. What are your newer offerings for the holiday season, Mike?
The latest title to come out is a little chapbook reproducing the script for Elith Hamilton Kirkland's last major piece of work, a thing called Precious Memories that Elith wrote in collaboration with a bunch of my musician friends. She had just turned 80. When Precious Memories went into production for the stage, but she hadn't written it as a play. It's a narrative manuscript with poetry. So Precious Memories is, I've been working with the video footage from the live performance in 1987 and getting ready to release a DVD to go with the book, but the book fell together quite readily since, you know, heck, I've got the script here. And so that just hit the racks at Amazon. My gosh, how many volumes of Forgotten Horrors have we got in print now?
Well, we've got 6 plus nth degree. Right?
7 plus the comic book Forgotten Horrors.
The Forgotten Horrors, which is actually showing a little bit signs of life on Amazon.
I've noticed that. I'd like to see some palpable results, but it's a good sign on Amazon.
It is. So you're busy right now. I know this because I did a little proofreading this week. You're busy on building number 7, but right now the newer ones are number 6 and Nth Degree, which, honest to God, I love Nth Degree, and I'm sorry.
Forgotten Horrors to the Nth Degree.
But I sure love it. I think it's one of the best things you and I have done together.
Mm-hmm. And I think it attests to the wisdom of saving your manuscripts from their magazine appearances.
Well, God only knows we've certainly saved a lot of manuscripts. So we have Forgotten Horrors to the Nth Degree for the person who loves horror movies from the 60s and 70s. We have Forgotten Horrors 6, which covers 55, 57, is that
right? Mid-50s, 55 into 57, yeah.
Right, right. And I have to plug, we finally have gotten, thanks to you, I don't want to embarrass you by saying if it weren't for you, we probably wouldn't be able to have figured out how to get this on Amazon, but we now have Hardboiled Christmas Stories on Amazon.com. We've gotten some very good reviews already on it, and I'm very happy about it because it doesn't only reprint pulp stories from the 30s and 40s with Christmas settings, pulp, hardboiled, detective, two-fisted kinds of stories, I also was able to write a lead story in the style of Robert Leslie Bellum's Dan Turner Hollywood Detective, the first new Dan Turner Hollywood Detective in over 60 years.
Yeah,
so
I was
there
about
you go.
To,
so that's another option.
That book is altogether too good, and it,
God bless you.
The new edition looks like a charm.
And let's talk just a little bit about your Sartrified comic book books.
No, comics from the Gone
Iger
World
Annual, Big Book of Iger.
Yes, the Jerry Iger sweatshop studio. Boy, I tell you what, how many millions of pages did those poor work for higher wage slaves crank out in the 40s and 50s?
Right.
We're working on some Iger restorations right now from the early 40s. That'll be coming along probably by next fall. Slow, painstaking process because, of course, not much of the original art exists.
Right.
And so we're restoring these stories. It's the Ghost Gallery series.
Oh, yes, right.
Restoring those from some really beat-up old funny books. And so far, so good.
Now, who are you working with on that, Michael?
We're working with Craig Yeo on that
Craig
one.
Craig Yeo. Okay,
and, good. And it's falling together nicely. I'm just too many things going on at once. I really should have finished the new Christmas book in time for this Christmas season. But meanwhile, we've still got the great big Christmas goose in print.
Good. Yes, and, you should mention your Christmas CDs because I do a Christmas show here at Tulsa on KWGS. You can pick it up at KWGS.com.
Mm-hmm.
I always play a song off one of your Christmas albums. You've got those out and available.
Just getting some new material ready to record for a Christmas album. We're going to test it out at a Christmas improv comedy show in early December.
Excellent.
And found a really keen old Spike Jones recording. It's very, very dignified and Victorian, sung in the style of a Dickens period
right.
caroling quartet.
Right.
And it's quite lovely. It's a cautionary tale. Dear old Santa Claus arrives just in time to advise the nervous and agitated child, never hit your grandma with a shovel. Subtitled, Why Leave a Bad Impression on Her Mind?
Well, as long as we're I'll finish up the plugs with a plug for my Cave Girl collection from Bob Powell that Jim Vance and I were able to write the introduction for from Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah.
And that's out now. And boy, that's doing land office business. There's a lot of
Bob Powell can do no wrong.
And our friend Mark Schultz did an introduction, and we did an essay for the whole series. So so that's out there as well. So, you know, just sort of Google Mike Price or John Woolley and see what we've got and buy early and often. We'd really appreciate it.
It's the only way to work.
That's right. Michael, thank you, man. I appreciate it. And once again, folks, at $1 or even at $10, Evil Roy Slade is a great bargain. We'll be back shortly.
Nice work.
Would howl at the darkness, scare it so bad he'd cause day to break. Then Evil Roy Slade would scramble a rattler, have him for breakfast, and spit out the shake.
All of you boys realize that this is my last job. You're looking at a man about to retire.
Oh, no, Evil.
Boss, in honor of your retirement, I'd like to give you this here gold watch. Now, me and Smith here and Patches, we's men of different faiths. We banded together and we beat the tar out of Riley here and took his watch for you. Let's have a speech, lad.
I'm touched, boys. Not enough to say thanks, but I am touched. As a matter of fact, I got something for you guys here. Some of my old wanted posters. I autographed them.
Hey, that's nice.
Pass them out, Snake.
Yep.
This is it. We've been together a lot of years, and I gotta say, I ain't never gotten to know any of you guys at all. What's your name?
Patch. I've been with you now for 6 years. I saved your life once up in Loganville.
Give him another poster.
Oh, thanks, Slade.
Boys, as we stand here, ready to rob our last stage, I want you to remember the 5 most important things that I taught you.
Sneaking. Lying. Arrogance. Dirtiness. And evils. Put them all together,
and they spell slave.
Yeah, that's right.
Enough warmth.